And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords.
This is the Rental Income Podcast.
And now, Dan Lane.
Jennings, a lot of people manage their own rental properties, usually because they want to save money and they want to have more control over their portfolio. But you think that when they self-manage, they're actually making a big mistake. Why is that?
They don't necessarily think of it as a true business. They're thinking of it as a hobby. This is something that I can do myself. And I can save money, I can save that extra $100 a month or whatever it is. And it can really have a negative compound effect on the long-term growth of your portfolio. And the reason I say this is because every property you take on, you're taking on a job. And that job compounds with every new property you take on, every problem, every eviction you have to deal with, every broken water pipe, and it disincentivizes you to keep on going. And so you don't want to buy another rental because it's just going to be another burden on yourself. And so you stick with 3, 4, 5, whatever's kind of manageable, and you just plateau there.
We'll talk more about that today. We're also going to go over some of the big mistakes that people make when they self-manage. Joining us on the podcast today from Somerville, South Carolina is Jennings Smith. We'll take a really quick break to thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll get into the interview. The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified. And I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because the last thing you want to have happen is to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender, and she'll pre-qualify you for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. When I'm doing research to buy a new rental property, there's a lot of different websites, apps, and then a spreadsheet that I use to do my analysis. It's really kind of a convoluted process. Well, there's a much easier way. There's an app called Ask Rick. That's R-I-C for Rental Income Calculator. Ask Rick makes it really easy to find and analyze rental properties. You can see all the properties for sale in an area. If something looks good, you can press one button. It'll analyze the property for you. It'll figure out the rent amount. It'll figure out your mortgage payment, all your expenses, and give you your cash flow. If you're ready to move forward, you can make an offer right there on the app, or you can send the information over to your realtor to do some more investigation into the property. You can try it out for free right now. Just search for Ask Rick. That's R-I-C, Ask Rick in the App Store, or go to justaskrick.com. That's justaskrick.com. The team at Just Ask Rick is constantly working on making the app better. They just released an update to make the map load faster, and you can now schedule a tour by sending a calendar invite right in the app. If you tried it out before, you might want to give it another shot. If you haven't tried it yet, start your free trial today at justaskrick.com. Have you ever personally tried to self-manage your rentals?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think almost everybody that goes down this road starts with, I'm going to do it myself. And so that was the example I had from my dad owning rentals. And so when I bought my first mobile home, is how I kind of got started, was a double wide mobile home. I bought it. I renovated it myself. I did all the work while working a full-time job, and I ran a construction company. And so I placed my first person in there, and within 3 months, you know, they stopped paying, and it just started to suck my energy of like, okay, when can you pay? We'll work out terms. Then his dad came up from Florida and paid it, caught him up. And then he immediately got behind. And finally, I think 6 months later, I had to throw him out. And when I walked back into the trailer, I mean, the thing was destroyed. Like, door handles chewed off by dogs, fleas everywhere, carpet destroyed, paint destroyed. I mean, this place was pretty much brand new when I finished it. And that was a critical juncture for me because I almost quit. It was like so disheartening to see that I had poured, you know, so much work into trying to make this thing happen. Yeah. My dream of owning real estate work, and just to see it just decimated like that. It was really, really painful.
So looking back on that, what you know now, as you know, a more experienced investor, how do you think a property manager would have handled that better than what you did?
Point number one, I mean, the guy was unemployed. Like, he was a full-time student, and he got, I don't know, a few thousand dollars a month for his tuition and some living expenses, but it in no way equaled three times the rent. So right there, I mean, a typical property management company would have disqualified him. I didn't do a background check. I didn't do a credit check. I just sort of was like, oh, you know, he seems like a good guy. He's married and, you know, and lo and behold, they broke up, they got divorced, there's not two incomes anymore, he really didn't have a job, he's a full-time student, and the whole thing just fell apart. And if I had looked into him, I'm sure this was not the first credit mishap that these people had had with the way that they acted in this scenario.
Mm-hmm. Right. So if somebody has that stuff down, that they've figured out how to screen, they've figured out how to manage the property better, how to stay on top of tenants and move to eviction pretty quickly if they don't pay. Do you still think it's a bad idea to self-manage if someone really has that dialed in?
I do.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the basics. That's kindergarten. Mm-hmm. But there's obviously more to it. And even if you are a master property manager, like you know how to do the evictions, it doesn't bother you to call the subs. It doesn't bother you to do the work, to do the, let's say you actually are inspecting every 6 months like you know you should, which you probably aren't. Let's say you're doing that. And there's still things that you're missing. Mm-hmm. Let's say raising rents. Like if you're building this relationship with these tenants and you're getting to know them and they're a good tenant, you know, are you going to be apt to just be like, well, let's just leave, you know, let leave sleeping dogs lie. We're not going to raise rents, even though I know I'm $200 under market rent. I'm just going to leave it alone. That, I think, is a big mistake that landlords do because right. The taxes still go up. The maintenance costs still go up. Construction costs still go up. Insurance goes up. And you make less and less and less money, but you want to be a nice guy. And so you don't do that. And let's say even if you are doing that, you're raising rents, you're keeping on top of everything. This stuff takes time and it parks in your brain and takes up mental space and it can wear you out. You know, the constant calls and it will eventually hold you back where you really, like no matter what, you're building a job and you're building a job around your lifestyle. And the whole reason that you most likely got into rentals was to have financial freedom, mm-hmm. to have more time, to work less, to have more time with your family and your kids and your wife, vacations, whatever. And now you're almost achieving the opposite of that.
Yep. Yeah. Let me ask you about me personally. Like maybe you can help me out because I might be like that person you're describing that that isn't raising rent because the way I look at it is I want to avoid turnover at all costs. So if I have a good tenant in there that's paying rent on time, that they're not causing me any problem, they're taking good care of the property, I would rather keep them in there than lose them over a $50 increase. Am I making a big mistake with that?
The long-term effects of that, you know, not getting that extra few thousand dollars a year does add up. And those little decisions that don't seem to really matter that much, they all of a sudden can compound.
Yeah. You know, the other thing I do, and, you know, that all makes a lot of sense. Every extra dollar you can get is increasing the value of your portfolio. The other thing I like to do is price my rentals a little bit below market. Because I'm thinking if I can get someone that thinks they have a crazy deal, where, you know, maybe I could get 1,000 or maybe 1,050 if I really pushed it. But if I can rent that property out for 975, I'm going to rent it quicker. I'm going to get a tenant that's going to love living there, and they're hopefully not going to leave. But am I making a mistake with that too? Like, should I be really pushing those rents as much as I can?
No, I follow the same strategy with my portfolio, where we try to be right at market rent or maybe a little lower, middle of the road. We're not trying to get those premium rents and let the property sit, because you're right. I mean, vacancy is the biggest profitability killer. You know, you don't want those trying to get that extra $20 a month,
right?
Just to have your property sit vacant an extra month. But what I'm talking about is, okay, so I took over a portfolio for a landlord. He had about 15 properties, and he had self-managed them. And when I looked at it, it was like every single property, it was not like $50 under. It was like $300 under market rent. And right. You spread that over 15 properties, you know, you're talking about a few thousand dollars a month in lost revenue right. there. And so that really compounds, where his returns were, he was frustrated. I mean, they weren't great. And he thought he couldn't afford property management. And when you look at the numbers, it's like, yeah, you really can't. But right. here's why. And you're actually going to make more money with a management company, because you don't know, you're not constantly studying the trends. You don't know the rental rates. And you're not thinking like, how can I maximize this investment? Because it's not your full-time job most of the time.
And, you know, I could see how that could happen, because if you're a little bit below market to start with, and then you're not keeping up with rent increases over time, over a long period of time, you're going to be way off. So I can see how you really, it's a good idea to push a little bit every year to get that little bit of a rent increase. So one thing you mentioned is that you own a property management company, but you don't manage your own rentals. Like, why doesn't your management company manage your personal rentals?
So they do. When I first started into rentals, I did not have a management company, and I was just kind of personally managing them. And then once I got to, I think, 4 or 5 properties, I was just falling behind. Like, I wasn't inspecting, I wasn't evicting on time, people were starting to not pay me, and I was just too busy. And so I hired a management company, not my own, but a management company, and they did a great job. And then they got sold to another company, and I started my own, and I took those in-house. But it's pretty much the same principle, because I have a manager that works for me, and she manages the property. She's the one that's filing the evictions. She's the one that's doing the inspections. She's the one that's the hammer and raising the rents and making it work the way it should work. And so I have that arm's length distance now. And I know it's true, because at my personal residence, I have an apartment above the garage, and I lease it out for $10.50 a month. And I really like the guy. Like, he's quiet. He doesn't cause any issues for me. I went in there the other day, and it was immaculately clean. And he's paying $10.50 a month, and he should be paying $1,200. And so I know firsthand that mentality, even though right. I know I should raise rent on this guy. And it's kind of like, But it's a unique scenario, because he's right in my backyard. Right. But it can creep up where you start to just let things go. Where, I mean, a year ago when I released it, I mean, I wasn't $150 under market rent. Like, just rents in my area have really gone up quite a bit. And I have my finger on the pulse, because I own a management company.
Right. Yeah. So it's funny, because, like, even in your situation where you would think that you would be aware of that, it still can get away from you.
Human nature.
Yeah. How about building relationships with tenants? Like, is that the kind of a danger when you're self-managing?
I mean, I hate to say it like that, because it seems cold. But I do believe that your management company should have a good professional relationship with the tenant base, with the tenants. As the owner, I don't know that that is the healthiest for your bottom line. Now, everyone has different perspectives on how they want to do that. And that may be, I talked to one landlord, he felt like it was his ministry to his tenants, you know, to kind of keep their rents low and have the relationship with them. And he really enjoyed that. And that's fine. You know, God bless him. But it's just, if you're trying to run this thing as an efficient business, I don't know that that is the best route to go to try to be buddy-buddy and best friends with your tenant base. It's kind of like, you know, an employee-employer relationship. Like, yes, you want to be cordial. You want to have a professional relationship. And you definitely care about those people. But it's not the same as a friend or a family. Sure. It's not the same relationship. And it can't be, because that's when you start to get taken advantage of, because things are going to break. Your roof is going to wear out. Your HVAC is going to die. Those taxes are going to go up. Your insurance costs are going to go up. Vacancies will happen. And if you're not prepared for that, all your being a nice guy and being a good guy is not going to help you.
That's true. So I think something that a lot of people struggle with is managing their manager. So how do you do that? Like, I think you've got an interesting perspective being a property manager and also being an investor. How can people manage their manager appropriately?
I think the key concept there is accountability, because every management company that I've come across, they pretty much have a similar pitch. You know, we're going to charge you this, and we're going to lease it up fast, and we're going to be a great marketing company, and we're going to do inspections, and we're going to change your HVAC filters, and we're going to vet your tenants very well, and you're not going to have any, not any problems, but you're not going to have many problems. We're going to handle everything. And so you hire that company, and they do well. But then a year down the road, here's where I'm saying, are they still doing well? Like, are they still walking your property every 6 months? Are they still doing the HVAC maintenance plan that they kind of sold you on? Are they keeping up with the rent trends? Like, because management companies can get lazy too. Like, they can say, well, we don't want to have to release this place, so let's not bump rents on this guy. Let's just leave him in place because he's an easy tenant and he always pays, and he doesn't give us any problems. He never complains. Mm-hmm. And so that's the kind of thing that I think you have to trust what they're saying, look at their little pitch deck and the promises they're making, but then hold them accountable to that. So one way that I held my property management company when it wasn't my own, when I hired the other company, I created a Google Drive folder. And I said, look, every 6 months, you guys say you're inspecting my properties, I want you to drop photos into this Google Drive folder. And every 6 months, they did. And I would check on it. I had a reminder in my phone, like, check the photos. You know, stupid thing, but it really protected me. And when that management company sold to another management company, they stopped doing that. And I noticed it. And I called them on it. And they were like, oh, yeah, we're sorry. We're gonna get right on that. And then they started inspecting my properties. And so I got better service because I was willing to hold that management company accountable.
Right.
And the same thing with rents. I would, you know, every once in a while I'd go on Zillow, I'd look around at the available stuff. I'd say, okay, everything else in Sangaree is $1,400 and I'm $1,200. What's up? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we probably could do a rent bump. We probably could. And then they would. And so you still have to be on top of it a little bit, even with the management company, holding them accountable. But I think between those two things, because management companies typically have vetting of tenants down. If they're doing credit checks and background checks and checking employment, you're probably going to be okay there. I feel like they really fail on the vendor costs and the inspections and keeping the rents at market rate.
If you want to reach out to Jennings, I've got his contact information on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode278. I'd like to thank today's sponsor for making this episode possible. It's Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. If you're looking to buy a rental property, whether you're just getting started or you want to add to your portfolio, the lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge. She's a nationwide lender, and she specializes in helping investors buy rental properties. She has a ton of different loan programs, and she can find something customized to you in your situation. If you want to find out more or set up a time to talk to Chaley, just go to ridgelendinggroup.com. That's RIDGE, lendinggroup.com. If you mention Rental Income Podcast, she will waive all the pre-qualification fees. NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. We have new interviews every single Tuesday. And if you subscribe, you'll get notified as soon as they come out. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.